really am, and most of us are. Okay, we're doing this thing, and you know, I love that. I haven't taken those signs down out front yet because it's the good news with grace. And one thing that doing this study on awaking to righteousness is because it's good news. It's like the best news you'll ever get. It's better than finding out where the cheapest gas in town is. Another QR code. We are very digital around here. If you do that with your phone or your mobile device or whatever, that'll give you the scriptures that we're going to go over today. And so you'll actually have it on your in your hand or on your computer. But here's the first scripture, and you're going to love this when we've already looked at it. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. And I define being awake as become aware. I want every one of us, before we get out of this place in the next few weeks, to become aware of our righteousness. And I'll explain it a little better today, but I think it's a big deal. And it says, awake, when you're aware of your righteousness, when you are aware of your righteousness, you won't sin. The things that you've been in bondage to, where you've been stuck, you'll get over that hump, you'll get around that mountain, and you'll be free. And it's a big reason a lot of us are stuck, and we're just in this process, we're not getting any farther, is because we aren't aware of our righteousness. And I want to show you more scripture on that. And some do not have the knowledge of God. Well, you know, God's aware of your righteousness. Do you know He is? He 100% is totally aware of my righteousness and your righteousness. And this comes against shame and regret and putting yourself down and feeling less than. This comes against doubt and fear, and it really does. Now, you know, the definition of righteousness isn't what most of us think it is, and I really like the songs we did today and the way we've been talking. Like Tyler, you didn't know this part, Tyler, but righteousness, the definition of righteousness, the biblical definition, is two parties finding likeness in each other. Two parties that see likeness in each other. And what did the Bible say about you? Whose likeness were you created in? You were created in His image and likeness. His image and likeness. When you look at God, you're seeing your own likeness. And guess what God sees when He looks at you? Since He made you in His likeness, He sees His likeness. And when you and God get together on how you see each other, it'll transform your life. It'll transform your world. It'll release the power of God in your life. You know, Jesus knew who He was. He was the Son of God. And God knew who Jesus was. And they looked at each other and they saw their likeness in each other. It's almost like this, and I think this is really funny. Y'all have heard people say this. This is sort of a new saying. When I was younger, we didn't say this. But I see it. It's so funny to me. Do you ever hear a parent, a mom, or a dad say, "Yeah, she's just a mini-me. He's a mini-me." And I look at some of y'all's kids and I'm like, my gosh, it's true. My granddaughters are mini, right? Y'all know Camille, you see her. And Camille's back there teaching kids, and Jennifer's back there teaching kids. Camille is just a mini Jennifer. It's like, that's all it is. Do you know that God created you and you're a mini God? You're a mini Him because He made you in His image and His likeness. And so righteousness isn't what you think. You think it's you controlling your behavior. You and I think that we're righteous when we do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And when I can keep those images out of my mind, then I'm righteous. I'm righteous when I perfectly obey the law. Then I'm righteous. And God says, no, you're righteous because you look like me, because I made you in my image. And you might as well get over it, because God ain't going to change His mind. He looks at you. He sees a reflection of Himself. And it's all throughout Scripture. And so I like that. Now, here's what the enemy used to trick Eve with, right? We talked about that in the garden when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He created Adam and Eve and he gave them dominion. He created them in his image and his likeness. And he said, you are good. You're very good, right? Now, your human nature is to work and become righteous. Your human nature is to judge yourself on what you do. Like if you're thinking this, you may be thinking already, well, I'm not righteous, and I know that lady sitting next to me, she's not righteous, and he's not righteous, and you could point at everybody in the room. And the truth is, your righteousness isn't determined by your behavior, what you do. Your righteousness is determined by who you're made in the image of. We live in a world where everything is works-based. Like we even, you know the people you really like and the people you love are the people who do nice things for you, who are nice to you, who recognize you, who see you, who acknowledge you. You like those people. You like them. But the people who ignore you, who put you down, who aren't like you, you don't like them so much. You see, but God's not like that. His love for us isn't based on performance. It's not based on work. And so work-based, and I like that. There's two kinds of righteousness. Faith-based righteousness is when you believe what Jesus says about you and what he did. I believe what the scriptures say. I believe what Jesus says. I believe what the Spirit of God says to me. Works-based righteousness is what Adam and Eve tried to do. Eve thought, oh my goodness, Satan spoke to her. He's a deceiver. He said, Eve, you need to work. You need to do something so God will be like you more. So you'll be righteous. So you'll be like him. You need to change your behavior. You need to change everything. And because who you are isn't good enough. And Eve, having the same nature that we have. See, I believe our sin nature is when we judge ourselves and we try to become what God wants us to be in our own strength. I believe that is what Eve had. And that's what all of us have. It makes so much sense to us that we work for it. Well, how can I call myself righteous? I'm not righteous. That's pride. No, that's agreeing with him. That's agreeing with him. And it's faith because we're not perfectly, our works aren't righteous yet. We're in process, guys. Nobody in this room is perfect there. We're in the process of being conformed into his image. And that's what righteousness is. So quit judging. Our instant thought is, I'm judging what I do, what I say. I'm judging you by what you do and say. And I'm telling you, that guy right there is not righteous because I see his behavior. Well, you know what? His behavior is coming from the bondage he's in because he judges himself. And maybe the bondage you're in right now, the battle you're having in your brain and your mind is because you're being drawn to, because it's our natural tendency, we're being drawn to trying to do something to make ourselves righteous. And listen, I've got a hint for you. There's nothing you can do to make yourself righteous. And we're going to look at those scriptures. These are great scriptures. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Apostle Paul said, "For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So your righteousness doesn't depend upon you. It's in Jesus. It's what he did. He came. He lived a perfect righteous life. And he died. And he made us righteous. We died with him when he died. So it's so interesting to me. That's so we can become the righteousness of God. I like Philippians 3:8-9. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. That comes from the law. How many of you guys are just like me and you're still trying to live by the law? You still feel guilty when you break a law, when you step over a line. You still blame yourself. You still tear yourself down. And Paul said in Philippians, he said, we obeying the law does not make us righteous. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So you know what I'm asking you to do? I'm asking God to open your eyes so you can see the truth about who you are. And you, then when you see it, when God reveals it, when the sun comes up, remember I said that last week, when the sun comes up every day, my mind goes, oh yeah, when Jesus came up, he made me righteous. He made me a son. He prepared me to meet the world where he's put me here on purpose. I'm going to my job today because Jesus arranged this, and it's all him. It's all him. And so every day when the sun comes up, the first thought in our mind is I'm righteous. Because, you know why? Because the sun rose from the dead. The sun came up, and he said when he rose, he took every one of us with him. And now we get to believe that or argue with him. He's got good news. This is good news. This isn't you're going to go to hell if you sneeze or you do. If you do steal chickens, you are going to go to hell. But if you don't go to hell for what you do. You live in hell for what you believe or what you don't believe. If you don't believe, then something happens to you, right? So I love that verse. The righteousness that comes by faith through God. Eve chose self-effort. You know how you can know whether you're living in self-effort or not? Is how do you deal with guilt? Do you deal with shame? You know, shame is what's inside of you. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed of the decisions I made. That isn't what Jesus says. You know what guilt is? It's regret for something you did wrong. Guilt is for disobeying the law. Disobeying maybe your own personal law. You know, we all have it. I'll get there. I want to do that. So Eve came and she believed the lie that Satan told her, right? When that happened, sin came in the world. And y'all know these verses. We've covered them before. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin. Yeah? Yeah? It hurts. Sin hurts us, and it hurts the people around us. And the strength of what our doing is, the strength of sin is the law. Guys, that doesn't even make sense. We're raised in a culture where we think the law is what keeps us from sinning. In the church, we've used the law to get people to behave and to do what we think they should do. That's the law. But Jesus says the strength of sin, the strength of what, the power behind you living in your own self-effort and works and not by faith, every one of us gets to choose. Am I going to live by works or am I going to live by faith? When you live by works, guess what you're doing? When you make a decision, I'm not going to sin. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And if I do this, this, and this, then God will bless me. And if I don't do that, then I won't get cursed. And you start living by this internal law that doesn't produce life. You know what it produces? Death, sin. I know it's a big debate in our world, right? The Ten Commandments, we all think about that. And I'll tell you, you know why God brought, and I want to cover this. What was God's purpose in giving us the law of Moses? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? You know, you think about what was happening in the world at that time. After Adam and Eve, after they judged themselves and tried to improve themselves by judging themselves, things went really bad. There was no murder, there was no pain, there was no suffering on earth until all of a sudden they did that. And after that, one of their sons murdered their other son. Can you imagine how quickly things turned around? And it's because of the devil, it's because of sin that Cain murdered his brother. And after that, there was no law in the world. There wasn't anything. They didn't know what was going on. And so women were sleeping with angels and giants were born and all this crazy stuff. And then things got so bad by the time Noah came along, there was only one family on earth that even served God at all. And I think God in his mercy allowed the flood to happen and he started over. And then after that, God brought the law to Abraham. He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And the Ten Commandments eventually turned into 613 laws, if you read in Deuteronomy. And what were the Ten Commandments? They were basically telling God's nature and his character. But guess what? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments if he knew we couldn't do it? Because Deuteronomy says, if you disobey one, you disobey them all. And you're cursed. No man was ever able to do it. You know, I believe this is what I wrote down. I believe this is true. God created the law in his love. Well, Alan, but the law puts us in bondage to sin. Yeah. Because you know what? Man had to find something out. You know what? We're all the same. I'm like, you know what they say about people from Missouri? Is there anybody from Missouri? I don't want to put Missouri down, you guys. Because nobody's from Missouri? This is weird, isn't it? You know, the show me state. Missouri people don't believe it unless they see it for themselves. The truth is, we're the same way. And God created the law. It was an act of love. Because guess what had to happen? He gave the law to expose sin. You see, a thief doesn't want to get exposed. Satan's a thief and a liar. He doesn't want to be exposed. And the law exposes sin. And God needed to expose sin. And then the law did one other thing. It proved forever and forever that man can't live on his own. Man cannot live alone. We need a Savior, and his name's Jesus. And so all the time we tried, all thousands of years, we tried to do and to be good. And the whole time, all we needed was Jesus. And so the law and those thousands of years that worked, you know, because we actually were taught this. I love this verse, Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, and we know the law is good. It's God's character, his nature. But those 600 laws they added to the Ten Commandments, those were trying to make, it was humans trying to make the Ten Commandments happen. So all he had were Ten Commandments, and we created 603 more laws to try and make the Ten Commandments happen. And guess what? Can't do it. Impossible. We need a Savior. And guys, I want to tell you, there's this thing in your life that's going on now where me and you are still judging ourselves. If you have guilt, if you have shame, if you get angry, there's still places where you're trying to live by the law. And you know what's funny about us Americans? We have law. I don't know how many laws that we have in America, thousands. But also, you know, we're all so good. Most of us have our own laws that we judge ourselves by. We do. Now, I pray with a lot of people, and a lot of us don't judge ourselves by the Ten Commandments or any of that. We judge ourselves by our own sensitivities and awareness, and we create new law because we think if we'll obey it, we'll prosper, we'll be good, and God will love us, and it's Jesus. We all need Jesus. The law does one thing, right? It's by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Guys, most of us grew up in an evangelical church that came from the Reformation back in the 1500s, and we actually came to know God through the knowledge of sin. That's how most of us came to Jesus. And you know what? Nobody's got to tell you when you sin. Nobody's got to tell you. You were created in God's image. You've got an internal thing in you that knows that stealing is wrong. Knows that murder and selfishness and all of that stuff is wrong. We know that. You don't have to tell us. We know it, and we condemn ourselves, and we judge ourselves for that. And we just know. I mean, we all know. And we were taught our entire lives the opposite of what this verse we've been looking at saying. We've been taught you become good by becoming aware, sin conscious. But that isn't what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:34. I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah, 15:34. Awake to innocence consciousness. Awake to righteousness. See who you are in Him. And when you see who you are in Him, it changes you from the inside out, because what you believe comes out of every pore of your skin. What you believe about yourself, what you believe about Him, you can't stop it. It comes out of you. And when you believe that you're innocent, righteous, that what Jesus, when you believe what Jesus did and what He said, as you believe that, you can't help but love people. You can't help but give to people. You can't help but be nice. You can't help but be kind. You don't want to steal anymore. You don't want to steal chickens and go to hell for it. Your want to has changed. And it's from the inside out. It's not stress. It's not making yourself. You get to be the happiest person in town because you get to do exactly what you want to do all the time. Isn't that crazy? It's like you get to have fun. Some people think I'm not fun. Everybody that laughed, you're one of those people. But I have fun all the time because I do what I want to all the time. It's like, yeah, but what you want to do is not fun. Well, it is to me. You know what's not fun to me? Have you ever done cross stitch? My goodness. Have you ever knitted? Ugh. It's terrible. And yard work? But you know what makes me happy? When I get to do what I want to do, right? And so when you live with Jesus, you'll get to do what you want to do more and more and more, because Jesus changes your desires and He gives you the power, supernatural power, to do what you desire. So I've got desires still that I haven't done yet. You know, I desire to see every elementary school in the nation have seed digging and have the gospel, the good news that tells kids, you're not bad. That's not who you are. Oh yeah, you're acting bad right now. Like, put that stick down, Tommy, and don't hit anybody else. Yeah, that you did, but that's not who you are. You're kind and you're loving and you're compassionate and you want to be honest and you don't want to steal. That's who you really are. And guess what? As far as God's concerned, you're already righteous. Because when God looks at you, you know who God sees? He sees Himself. Because He is righteous. And I love this. I love the fact that this is happening. So, you know, we were taught our entire lives to be conscious of sin. Listen, do you need to have the knowledge of sin to be a good Christian? Now, don't say it out loud, because we'll embarrass ourselves. Because you know what? We actually believe we need to know what sin is. We just sang a song. What was that song, Jennifer? Do you know what love is? No. We just said that verse over and over again. What? Lean back. Yeah, what was the verse?
I thought I knew what love was.
Oh, that's it. No, see, that's right. That's right. Chris has got it. He's right. This is first grade. First grade Christianity. do you need to know what love is, or do you need to know what sin is? Guys, you already know. You already know. You're embarrassed by what you do. You regret some of the things that might have happened years and years and years ago. And the truth is, Jesus is like, I made you righteous. That's not who you are. And we need to become awake to who we are in Him. I'll try not miss that, because when I think awake to who I am, I automatically know it's in Him. He made me righteous. Who made you righteous? Jesus. Well, but you're not righteous. I believe I am because Jesus said I am. Well, I'm still working on getting my belief lined up with my thoughts, lined up with what He said, but I am righteous. Guys, you're righteous. Every morning when you wake up and you see the light coming in, the first thing you should think, that if you want to. I mean, you can put yourself down if you want to. You can do whatever, because you know what? Jesus set us free. But I want to think, God, this is a great day. And I'm ready for it, and this world needs me. Those people love me. They just don't know it yet. I love when David Reichs, a friend of ours, Martha's little brother, he was the most pleasant, happy little kid, and he got put in those young sports that people do, you know, when their kids are real little. And some of the, y'all won't believe this, some of those little boys were being mean to David, because David is really smart, really nice, and just, you know, they were being mean to him. And so, you know what happens to you and me, the hair on the back of our neck stands up when somebody's being mean to our kid. And we're like, well, they ain't going to be my kid. And then David comes through the house and he's like, you know what? They're my best friends. They just don't know it yet. I'm like, what kind of attitude is that? David's happy and the hair's standing up on the back of my neck. I'm like, you know what? That's a good attitude. David sees the likeness of God in those kids that were being mean to him. And you know what? Eventually they did like him. Guys, this is a big deal. Awaking, becoming aware of your righteousness and less aware of your sin. Satan wants you to look at your sin every day and to bow down to it. You're not a victim to your sin. Yeah, did you do it? Yes. Did it happen? Yes. Jesus has already forgiven you. So I love that. Here's what the law. The law was our tutor, a schoolmaster. Galatians 3:24. To bring us, the law was never meant to be permanent. It's not where you get your life from. It's to bring you to Christ. And you're not justified by what you do with Christ. You're not justified by your behavior or your misbehavior. That doesn't define you. Guess what? Faith. You're justified by faith. Do you trust the power of Jesus' blood is greater than your sin? Power in the blood. I made y'all sing that last week. Yes, we all know His blood is more powerful than our sin. He's already died for your sin, and He's raised from the dead for your life. And we focus on this. So what was the purpose of the law of Moses? To expose sin, to bring the entire world to the awareness that we need a Savior. The entire world. Those guys in other countries and places, other religions, their sin is going to bring them to a place where they have to have a Savior. And His name's Jesus. And it all points us to Jesus. You know, I like that. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Read these verses and think about it. Guys, everyone who doesn't, if you're trying to live by the law, you're judging yourself by the Old Testament. If you're judging yourself, if you've created a law that's going to make you okay, then guess what? You're cursed. Because everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, 613. You can Google it. You can ask Siri. She'll tell you. There's 10 commandments and there's 603 laws besides the 10 commandments in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And guess what? No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. No one, including you and me. And the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And then in that verse again, become aware of your righteousness. You know, we're singing that song to God. He looks at us. We adore him. We adore him. And he adores us. Because righteousness is two parties seeing likeness in each other. When God looks at you, he sees his son. I mean, I would name names. You guys know. Some of you guys have children that I just look at the kids. I'm like, oh, yeah, there goes a female. And there goes a male. And there goes a mini. And they're like, they look like you. Brent, yeah, I know, sorry, they do. And I think some of our kids, they just look so much, they have the personality, they're just a chip off the old block, aren't they? Guess what you are? You're a chip off the old block. And the old block is proud of you. He adores you. He loves you. He makes you righteous. He's paid for all of your sin. That's who you are. And guys, as we wake up to that, something's going to change. The law isn't what makes us right with God. Focusing on the law puts you into deeper slavery to the enemy. Focus on what Jesus did. Yeah, but you still sin. Yeah, amen. The Bible says we all do. I agree. I call it sin, but I don't call this sin. I don't call this sin. That's not who I am. That may be how I'm acting. I'm still growing. Give me some grace, right? But I live by faith in the Son of God and all that he's done. So awake. Guys, I'm just, wake up. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you where you judge yourself. Anywhere you judge yourself, guess what? You're wrong. Yeah, but I did it. I didn't say what you did was right. I'm just saying who you are was created in the image of God. Who you are is right. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Don't ever be ashamed of yourself. That's the devil. And I, you know, one thing I like doing, one fun thing for me, is casting out demons. I love it. I love it. I love it. So if you got a demon whispering stuff in your ears, call me. Call me. And I'll show you where you believe a lie. And then Jesus will open your eyes, and then you'll be free. And I get to make the demon leave. It's fun. Y'all should try it sometimes. It's one of the funnest things you'll ever do. Seeing someone free and seeing the devil put in his place and seeing Jesus lifted up. Because Jesus has already set you free. You just aren't aware of it. Wake up. Wake up. I want us to all wake up to our righteousness. And then when we're awake to our righteousness, when we're awake to our innocence, guess what? We'll quit sinning and you'll quit being mean to me. Totally selfish. I'm totally selfish. Because I like being around people who are full of the Spirit and in love with Jesus and in love with God and in love with themselves. That makes me happy. So guys, I invite you to join in on this journey. We're going to cover, I didn't get half of it again today. This is really embarrassing. No, it's not. This is perfect. It is perfect. Exactly. Right? I agree. Don't you, Chris? I agree. Right. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening. And I know that y'all's eyes you're becoming aware. Quit focusing on sin. The devil he'll help you do that. You'll hate yourself by the end of the day. No, focus on what Jesus did. What Jesus did is more powerful than what you did. Forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's all stand up. Let's pray. I never knew what love was. That's the words I couldn't think of. He's better. He's better. Why don't you get on his team? Get on his side. This morning, we would love to pray with you. We have prayer teams down here. If you're dealing with guilt, you know, judging yourself for something you did wrong in the past. And sometimes guilt is judging ourselves for not doing something we believe we should have. Matter of fact, anytime you hear that word should, that's a cuss word, because that's law. It's law. So if you're dealing with guilt, if there's things in your life that you're embarrassed about, the way you look, the way you talk, the money you have or the money you don't have. I mean, I thank God. I love what Kelly's is saying about giving offerings and tithes. Her and David have lived that way forever. And did y'all see the beautiful new guitar? I'm scared to touch it. Did y'all see it? Yeah, David, I believe he was following the Holy Spirit. It wasn't lust. He had to have this thing. And God gave him the money and Kelly the money. And he's blessing us with this beautiful new sword. That's what musicians call them. I've acted off. Ugh. Axe. I was being so cool. Now I'm embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm just embarrassed. I love his new axe. David, love your axe. Sword would be a better word. So let's go out with God this week believing that you're the perfect people for the people you're going to encounter. At work, at home, on the streets, wherever. And even right now, you're the perfect person for what God has planned. So God, I thank you for today. I thank you for worship, for the kids' ministry. Lord, I thank you for the amazing things that's happening with our children, that they're learning the truth about who they are. And God, I just ask that we would be able to raise children that are full of Jesus and full of faith and that have, they're confident in who they are in you. So I just thank you, King. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.